chapter of John. Or your devices that also have those Bible apps. This evening, yes. 6:30. Don't want to miss that. Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Verse 14, the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and full of truth. And we'll stop there in the gospel reading. Let's just pray together at the beginning. God, we thank You so much for this morning where we get a pause, we get to celebrate Your coming, we get to rejoice that You came. We get to focus our hearts and our minds on the love that motivated You to come. Lord, thank You so much for this morning. I know there are a lot of hard and harrowing things that people are experiencing in their lives, Lord, but You're still present for us, and we thank You for that. And so, Lord, come in this moment, and Lord, come in this just brief time, and just encourage us through the Scriptures. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to start out with a little story. There was a little boy who had a part in a Christmas play at his church. And he was supposed to recite some verses from the Bible about the birth of Jesus. And he was really nervous about it, of course, and he didn't want to forget his lines. So he wrote the verses, all the verses that he was to recite on pieces of paper, and he pinned them to various places on his clothing. And the evening of the play came, and things were going really well. He was saying his lines from memory. He didn't have to look at any of his reminders, and then it happened, right? He was quoting from the prophet Isaiah, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father." And just then a cell phone went off in the audience. It just completely threw him off. And he forgot what to say next. And so he gathered himself up and he started again. And he said, "To us a child is born, to us a son is given, and his name shall be called..." Nothing. Right? His mind was just blank, and he's beginning to perspire, and he's beginning to sweat, right? Because this is his lines, this is what he's supposed to do. And so he tried a third time. He said, "To us a child is born, to us a son is given, and his name shall be called..." It totally escaped him, the line from the prophet Isaiah. And then he remembered, right? He remembered, "Ha, I got a fallback. I've got my reminders." And now he got really confident, right? And he started to recite the verse. This time he was more confident. And he said, "To us a child is born, to us a son is given, and his name shall be called..." And he looks down at the waist of his pants, and he said, "Fruit of the Loom." Interruptions. We've been focusing our whole Christmas season this year on interruptions, haven't we? Those times when everything is moving along really well and then the unexpected happens. And no one here would argue that interruptions are a regular part of our lives. We have them, you have them, I have them, everyone has them. They're inevitable. We can't escape them. We're going to have interruptions in our lives. And we shouldn't be surprised by this, really, because we talked last week, if you remember, about how God is the God of interruptions. God is the divine interrupter. And he certainly interrupted the world, didn't he, when he came long ago. And I learned this week about the word interrupt. It actually comes from two Latin words, the word intero, which means into, and the word rupere, which means to break. And so the definition of interruption literally means to break into. And this is what God likes to do, doesn't he? He likes to break into our lives. And I hope that every one of you could say, you know, God has broken into my life. How many could say that today? God has broken into my life. His grace, his love, his salvation, his mercy, his power, his healing. He's broken into my life. You know, but we've also talked about how we are people with full schedules. And often we place our security, don't we, and our feelings of well-being into our plans and into our routines and into our calendars. And we have this perceived control that we imagine that we have over the circumstances and the situations in our lives, right? We think that we're in control. We have a neatly planned, tightly wrapped, well-ordered lives. And we draw a measure of peace from those lives, don't we? We draw a measure of fulfillment when our lives are running like a well-oiled machine. And then what happens? The interruptions come. And often we feel as though our entire lives are just unraveling when that happens. But we have been trying this Christmas to look at life differently, to approach life differently when these kinds of things come. And I want to say that at the beginning that both Christmas and our entire Christmas journey on this earth is about interruptions. And I don't mean to, you know, put a wet blanket on your life or anything, but you're going to get interrupted. And it's all about God breaking into, as well, into our neatly planned, tightly wrapped, well-ordered lives and doing something brand new. God wants to do new things in our lives. I want you to think about Mary. She was a young woman. She was a virgin. She was engaged to be married. She was looking forward to a new life with her husband Joseph. And suddenly, God the Father makes her pregnant with God the Son by the power of God the Holy Spirit. Now, that's an interruption, right, that she wasn't anticipating. Think about Joseph. Joseph was a godly man. The scripture says he was a righteous man. He was a godly man. He attempted to follow God's law and live above board. He wanted to do what was right according to God. And he thought that a behind-the-scenes quiet divorce would treat Mary with respect. He would maintain his integrity. Everything would be good. And then suddenly an angel announces to him that Mary's pregnant. God did it. Interruption. Think about the shepherds. We really haven't talked about them much this Christmas. But picture them. They're following their routine. They're working the third shift as usual. An angel appears, tells them to go to Bethlehem, find a king. You'll find him in an animal feeding trough. The only thing that was clean. And that was a huge interruption for the angels. Often wonder about those sheep they left behind, you know. So evidently God took care of those. Think about the wise men. They were studying the stars. God says, get those baby gifts wrapped. Saddle up the animals. Follow the star. Now that's huge interruptions to all the characters that we see in Christmas. And for the past few weeks, we have kept with the familiar passages of Scripture that describe the incarnation of God in Matthew's Gospel, Luke's Gospel, but the other Christmas stories found in the first chapter of John, in which we've read it, right? You could call it the Cliff Notes version of the Christmas story. How many remember Cliff Notes? Anybody? Man, I had lived on those things. Little 5x8 paperback books, they just summarize the entire book. Saves you a lot of time reading. Right? And John, He just sums up the visitation of Jesus to the earth in just a few short but powerful sentences. And I want to read those again. I want us to hear those again. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. And through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. And in Him was life, and that life was the light of man. And the Word became flesh, John says, and made His dwelling among us. Just a few short sentences, John tells us the whole Christmas story. God broke into our world. How many can say amen to that? So that He could be broken for us on a cross. So that the walls of sin that separated us from God could be broken down. So that He could break into our hearts with His forgiveness, with His mercy, with His presence, with His salvation. And God is the divine interrupter. And I'm grateful for that. I don't know about you. I'm so thankful that He is the divine interrupter. Now, what I want to do for the rest of our time this morning is I want to offer three specific actions that God is calling each of us to as a result of this first Christmas. Three things that God, I think that God is inviting us to do. And the first thing is this. First of all, this Christmas, God is calling us to acknowledge our need for Him to break into our lives. So much of our lives revolves around routines. And we tend to like them. We tend to like our routines. But what can and what often does happen is we can become dull. It is something, think about this for a moment with me. I thought about this whole idea of routines and habits. And if something is routine to you, it means you don't have to think. It doesn't require anything from you. You can do it with very little energy, that routine, because you've done it over and over and over again. It doesn't ask anything of you. And because of that, routines can tend to cause us to lose a level of sharpness. Our energy and our passion for life can decline because we're involved in these ruts, these routines. Well, we're doing everything the same every single day. And because of that, we may even start making less investments in our important relationships. Even take friendships for granted. Even take those that we love for granted. And so, God is calling us to acknowledge that sometimes we need to shake it up a little, don't we? We've got to break out of some of these routines that aren't necessarily good. They're not necessarily bad, but they're not really bringing us much life. Not only that, but if we're Christians, even our relationship with Jesus can become dull as well. And you know, I think there's a reason that the Apostle Paul challenged the Christians in Romans 12. He said this in Romans 12. He said, "Never be lacking in zeal." Do you know this verse? "But keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord." And I think he challenged the Christians there in Rome, because the reality is we do lose energy, don't we? And our interest in spiritual things grows cold way too easily in our lives. We do become cold way too easily, don't we? And I often wondered about this verse. I like the verse a lot. Maybe top 10 verses, I think, in my life. And so I did a little digging on this particular verse. This is literally what that verse says, Romans chapter 12. It says this. It says, "Never be sluggish, slothful, or go backward in your eagerness for God." I'll say that again. "Never be sluggish, slothful, or go backward in your eagerness for God, but keep yourselves boiling hot in love and service for God." That's literally what it says. And we all know that there are always things that we can do to ignite greater faith in our lives. Always things that we can do. There's always things that we can do to make a return in our relationship with Jesus. And our first step is to acknowledge our need for God to break into our lives and do something new. I like a verse in chapter 41 of Isaiah. He seems to be showing up today a lot, right? The prophet. And it says this in chapter 41. It says, "The poor and needy search for water, but there is none. Their tongues are parched with thirst, but I, the Lord, will answer them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will make rivers flow on barren heights and springs within the valleys. I will turn the desert into pools of water and the parched ground into springs." And God says, "I will do it. I will do that. I will do that for my people. I will do that for those that I love." And so, this morning, the interruptions of Christmas, they call us to acknowledge our need. How many have needs? You have needs? I do. Our need for God to break into our lives in some way, in some fashion. We have a need for God to break into our lives. And there might be some of you here today that need to do that, that need to acknowledge your need. Acknowledge that maybe that we're at a place where our souls are parched, or our relationship with Jesus and even His church is a little sluggish. We need to acknowledge that, and we need to say, "God, come." Which really leads us to the second invitation, and really the second point that I have today is that all the characters of the incarnation event, right, the coming of God, all the characters were divinely interrupted by God, and they invite us to do something. They invite us to ask Jesus, "Would you come to break into my life? Would you come to break into my life?" And so, if sluggish and parched, dry, if dull describes your Christian experience, your personal relationship with God, then this is the prayer that needs to take place. Here's the prayer. Listen to me. "God, break into my life and do something new." Let's say that together. "God, break into my life and do something new." And that's the prayer that we need to pray, I think. "Bring new life to my heart. Quench my spiritual thirst with a divine interruption of your presence. Quench my thirst. I'm thirsty. I'm dry. I'm dull. I'm sluggish. I need an increase, a boost of faith, energizing faith. I need you to come break into my lives and do something new." Now, I think it's important to remember this, though. As Christians following Jesus, our life isn't our life. Our life is Christ. True? And so we need to be careful to frame this prayer in the right way. It's not this. It's not, "Lord, break into my life and do what I want you to do." Right? You catch that? That's not the way we frame it. It's God, "Lord, break into my life and do what you want to do in me. You want to do in me." So, here it is, looking ahead, a bold one-sentence prayer for you to pray every day in the new year. We're already looking ahead. And here's the prayer, one-sentence prayer. Pray it every day, 2019. You know it's coming, right? Huh? 2019? "Lord Jesus, I invite you to break into my life in a new way today." That's the prayer, one sentence. Wake up in the morning, "Lord Jesus, I invite you to break into my life in a new way today." Today. What if we, as the Vineyard, boldly prayed that prayer every day in 2019? What if we did that? I believe Jesus would do incredible things if only we would ask and pray that prayer. Amen? "Lord Jesus, I invite you to break into my life in a new way today." Today. And so write that down. Lord Jesus, I invite you to break into my life in a new way today. And so we got to acknowledge our need for God to break into our lives. We have to ask Jesus to break in, right? Because the scripture says, we have not. Why? Because we ask not. We acknowledge our need for Jesus to break into our life. We ask Jesus to break into our life. And here's the third invitation. Here's the third thing we see from the interruptions of that very first Christmas. We need to start looking at interruptions not as obstacles, but as opportunities. This is what Mary did. This is what Joseph did. This is what the shepherds did, the wise men did. Instead of groaning at their divine interruptions, they embraced them. And they ended up seeing the glory of God show up in their lives, didn't they? Now, someone once wrote that the most significant, influential, and impacting moments of our lives are not on our appointment calendars or pre-planned schedules. I believe that. I really do. We think the important things are on our calendar. But some of the most influential, important things of our lives are not on our calendars. And, you know, we think if it's not on our calendar, or if it doesn't fit into our pre-planned day, or that perceived notion that we think the day should go, right? This is the way the day should go. And if it doesn't happen that way, we see all these interruptions as inconveniences in our lives. But what if we saw the bumps and the obstacles and the frustrations and the startling moments that we experience on a daily basis sometimes? What if we saw those as an experience and as an opportunity to see God at work? And so there's another bold prayer to pray. It reminds us, I think Christmas reminds us to pray another bold prayer. And this is the prayer: Lord, give me eyes to see you at work. Now, they're very simple prayers, but I want to tell you, they're very powerful prayers. Don't dismiss them. They're very, very powerful prayers. Lord, give me eyes to see you at work. And praying this prayer helps us to celebrate, truly celebrate, and be genuinely grateful when God breaks in with a joyful moment. And we have them, right? We have those joyful moments. Some people, you were barking out some of the wonderful things that God has done, brought healing, brought grandchildren. The grandchildren are wonderful. Grandchildren are the bomb, man. I'm telling you. They're great. I can say that. And so, Lord, give me eyes to see you at work. That's a great, bold prayer. And we can pray that every day. Lord, give me eyes to see. That's a prayer. That's a daily prayer. Lord, give me eyes to see you at work. Lord, I invite you to break into my life and do something new today. Lord, give me eyes to see you at work. And so we're kind of shaping our whole prayer focus for 2019, you know, asking God to do some of these things in our lives individually, but as a congregation, Lord, we want you to do some new things at the Vineyard. And we want to see you at work. We don't want to miss the new things. God forbid we miss the new things that he was doing. He was there, he was working, he was doing something new, and we completely missed it. Because we weren't paying attention to what God was doing. And so we need that. We need to. And, you know, one of the other things, too, that praying this prayer also helps us with is when we experience heartbreaking interruptions in our lives. Because I don't have to tell you that you don't schedule the death of a loved one. You don't schedule the death of a friend. You don't schedule or plan for a friend to move away. Or you don't plan to lose your job, right? You don't put that on your calendar. experienced a financial setback, maybe a major illness. We're not putting those on the calendar. We're not scheduling those things. All these things disturb and they disrupt our neatly planned, tightly wrapped, well-oiled lives, don't they? But if we allow them, if we open up our spiritual eyes, the heartbreaks can be stepping stones to a new and a deeper life with God. Because even in the pain, and even in the heartache, and even in the loss, we can still experience the presence and the glory of God in our lives. It's true. We still can. We can still experience His peace and His strength and His comfort. We can see that God is still working even in those painful moments. So Lord, give me eyes to see it work. Lord, give me eyes to see it work. This Christmas, the Savior, the wonderful Counselor, I don't have to look at my waist, the Prince of Peace, Emmanuel, the Eternal Word, Jesus, He's inviting all of us, and He's saying, acknowledge your need for God to break into your life. Invite me to do it. And look at your interruptions, not as obstacles, but as opportunities. God is doing that. That's what He's saying. He's saying to us, go ahead. Pray bold prayers. Pray those bold prayers. Pray them every day. Pray them every day in the new year. And here they are. Lord, I acknowledge that there are places where I'm sluggish and spiritually parched. Lord, I invite you to break into my life in new ways. Lord, give me eyes to see you at work in my life every single day. Three prayers. Three simple, one-sentence, power-packed prayers that can change our lives and can change our church. And so who would join me in praying those three prayers every single day? Who would join me? Yes. Yes. We look with anticipation at what God can do, wants to do, and will do in our lives. We need to ask. We need to start asking. Start asking. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, we do acknowledge that there are places where we are sluggish, we're spiritually parched, we're dry, we're in need. We invite you, God, to break into our life, shake things up, bring some new things. Lord, give us all eyes to see you at work in our lives every day. Come, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. Minister, speak to our hearts. Some of you, just as a demonstration or just as a physical act, you might want to stand and just acknowledge that there are places where you're spiritually dry and you need God to come in and pour water or life into you. If that's you, just stand and say, Lord, I acknowledge I'm a little dry. Some of you might just want to pray that bold prayer right now. Lord, I just invite you to break into my life in a new way today. I just want to be bold. Yeah. Do something new today. Maybe just in a third way, just as a response that you could make, maybe there's some regret maybe that you may have missed some of what God has done in your life. You missed it. Or you're not aware of it. You want to be more aware of what he's doing. And so I just invite you to stand if you want to really see God working. You want new spiritual eyes to see life differently with God in the backdrop, always working. Pray for those who stood, Lord. Just ask that you would just meet them at their point of prayer, their point of need. Do something, God, in good and powerful ways. See their response. See how they've responded today. Let's just all stand together. Thank you for coming, Lord. And thank you for recording it, that you came. We just pray, God, that you would just be glorified in and through your church. May the message of the gospel, the message of your coming, the message of the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom, may it continue to be proclaimed, Lord, by the church, by this vineyard, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Be blessed.